Good morning. On one hand, God has given us a law. God, as we have discussed in lessons past, has all authority to give us a law. And He has given us this law by which we can know how to live, how to do His will as we live our lives. He has directed us how to carry ourselves. And the commandments that He has given us are holy, and they are righteous commandments. And on the other hand, there is sin. And sin is really a terrible thing. Sin is lawlessness. It is acting without law, without the law of God. When we violate the law of God, we are sinning. We are missing the mark. And to act in such a way is to act unrighteousness. It is to act in such a way as is common, not as is holy, not as is set apart as our God, but as is common and as is as everyone else in the world would act. And some would think that they can have the best of both worlds. They can follow the law of God, and yet they can live in the world and be of the world. And some try to get away with sin while appearing to follow God's laws. But consider with me Numbers chapter 32. In Numbers chapter 32, we'll begin reading in verse 20. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. In Numbers 32 and verse 20, "So Moses said to them, 'If you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for war, and all of you armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until He has driven His enemies out from before Him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then after you shall return and be free of obligation toward the Lord and toward Israel, and this land shall be yours for a possession before the Lord.'" But note verse 23. "If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Moses told the children of Israel, you can follow the Lord, you can do what He commands, and you can have freedom. You can be free of the obligations that will come upon you. Or you can fall into sin. You can oppose the Lord's command. You can follow the unrighteous path. But he says, you can't have the best of both worlds. Your sins will find you out. Look over to the New Testament in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, begin reading with me here in verse 16. Here Jesus says, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light." So Jesus says, in essence, what Moses told the children of Israel. Everything that you think may be hidden, although you try and follow God's law and live in sin, everything will come to light. Everything will become evident. We cannot have the best of both worlds. Sin will be discovered, and sin has its consequences. That's what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this morning, is the consequences of sin and the fact that sin changes things. Sin changes things in our life. We cannot live in sin and not be affected by sin. And we're going to look at a text in Genesis chapter 3. If you'd like to go ahead and turn over there, we're going to be going back to Genesis chapter 3 at the beginning of each point. But sin changes things. And we're going to look at just three things that sin changes. There may be more. This is not a complete list. But sin changes our relationship with God. Sin changes our relationship with others. And sin changes our relationship with ourselves. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse 8. You may recall at one time in the Garden of Eden, man and God lived in harmony with one another. Man and God lived in a way that, such as they, you remember that God spoke with man. And you remember there was an occasion when God paraded the animals before him, and they had this sort of coexistence where they dwelt together in the Garden of Eden. But man sinned. And man's sin changed that relationship with God. Read with me in verse 8. "They heard the sound." This is after the man and the woman had sinned. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Once a relationship that was strong, a relationship in which man and God communicated with one another, and they dwelt together in the garden. And now man finds himself hiding from his God. Man finds himself hiding from his Creator. Why is that? Because he sinned. And he was ashamed of his sin. And that sin changed something in the relationship between man and God. It made it so that man could no longer dwell with God. Skip down with me to verse 22. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Now that man has sinned, now that I can no longer dwell with him, God must send the man out of the garden. Sin changes things. Sin changes our relationship with God. The Old Testament clearly demonstrates this fact in Israel. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Here, as Moses comes to the end of his life, it's foretold that Israel, you're going to fall into sin and you're not going to have the same relationship with God that you once did. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land, into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them. They will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, 'Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us?'" You may recall that previous to this in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses had issued a list of blessings and curses that would come upon them. Blessings if they followed the covenant of God, and curses if they disobeyed God. And he says, there will come a time, Moses. He says, you're going to die, but there will come a time, you can be assured, when the children of Israel will not follow my commands. And as a result, the curses that I have said will come upon them. They will have these terrible things. These evil things will have come upon us. And they will say, "Why did this happen?" He said, "It's because God is not among them. Because God is no longer among them. Once they dwelt in harmony, once God said, 'I will dwell among you, you will be my people, and I will be your God,' but not so. God will no longer dwell among his people when sin is there. Sin changes things." Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. We're going to begin reading in verse 10 here. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become a curse. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst." You may recall in this context, as Israel is going to enter into the land, this is the land that God promised to them if they followed His law, if they followed His commandments. He would give them this land, but you remember, they conquered Jericho with no problem. But as they came to the next city, you remember they had taken some of the things from Jericho that God had commanded them not to take. And they stole those things. And as a result, God said, "I will not be with you. I cannot be with you because sin is among you." Turn again to Isaiah. Isaiah recognized this as well. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1, the visions of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Sin turns us away from God. Sin changes things in our relationship with God. Maybe a better well-known passage in Isaiah chapter 59 demonstrates this as well. In Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ears so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He does not hear. See, sin changes things. Sin changes our relationship with God. Once we have entered into a life of sin, we cannot have that same relationship with God that He promised us. And in the same way, as seen in the Old Testament, that Israel's relationship was changed. It also changed relationships on an individual level. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, after David sinned, a terrible sin with Bathsheba. In Psalm chapter 51, this is his plea, his crying out to God, his repentance. But look with me in verse 11. Look at what David is concerned about after he has sinned. He says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David was concerned. He said, I know I've sinned. I know that this changes my relationship with you. Please do not cast me away from your presence, because God has every right to cast sin away from His presence. God has every right to cast David out of His presence. So David pleads with him. Please don't cast me away. Don't throw our relationship away. And again in Psalm chapter 66. Psalm chapter 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He has extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard, and He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from me. Again, God has every right to turn away from the sinner. God has every right to turn His face and not hear the cries of the sinner. But here the psalmist says, thanks be to God that He has not done that, that He has shown me loving kindness. Well, the same is true today. We see that in the Old Testament, that our relationships change when sin enters our life. Our relationship with God changes. But the same is true today in this life. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Begin reading with me in verse 10. Actually, go up to me with verse 8, if you will, to kind of get a running start here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Peter writes, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So here Peter encourages these Christians. He says, do good. Do the law of God. Follow His commandments. God's face is against those who do evil. If you don't follow His commandments, you're going to find yourself in a poor situation, in a poor standing before God. But God is loving towards those who are righteous. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayers. But turn also with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. He says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him." Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. John says it's obvious. You can clearly tell who is of God and who is of the devil, because the ones who have a relationship with God, the ones who have that intimacy with God, they're not sinners. They are not the ones who practice sin, who practice lawlessness. Rather, they follow the righteous law of God. He says those who sin, those who follow unrighteous practices, they are not in a relationship with God. Rather, they are of the devil. And so we see that in this life, our relationship with God is altered when we sin. Our relationship with God changes. But more importantly, in eternity, our relationship with God changes. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew, chapter 25. Begin reading with me in verse 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and His goats on the left." The next few verses speak about those sheep who are on His right hand, and the blessings that they receive, and the glory that they receive for having followed God's law. Let's skip down with me to verse 41. "Then He will also say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' And He will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." A very sobering picture of the eternal result of sin, the eternal change that occurs in that relationship between man and his God, between man and his Creator. Eternal separation from God. An eternal change of that relationship. Sin changes things. Thanks be to God that we can renew the relationship while we're in this life. Thanks be to God that we can renew this relationship that alters, that is altered by sin. That once, you know, we cannot have this relationship with God, but through His Son, we can. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus simply says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." But what Jesus says is that there is a way to the Father. There is a way to renew that relationship. If we go through Christ, we can renew the relationship with the Father. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes about a kind and a loving God who longs for that relationship to be renewed. Ephesians chapter 2, begin with me in verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." God longs for that relationship to be renewed. In fact, is that not the story of the Bible? How God, in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, as we read, He cast man out of the garden, and yet He provided a way for that relationship to be renewed. Sin changes things. Sin changes our relationship with God. But that's not all that sin changes in our life. Sin also changes our relationship with others. Turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. Begin reading with me in verse 11. And this is God speaking to Adam. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." See, right off the bat, the relationship with other individuals changes when sin enters the picture. And this seems to be the human instinct, to point the finger, to blame. It can't be my fault. It was the woman that you gave to me. With blame and hard feelings being passed around, as it always is with sin. With blame and hard feelings being passed around, relationships are in danger. I can't imagine that Eve felt too kindly about being blamed for this sin. Adam points the finger at the one that God gave him and said, "It wasn't my fault, it was hers." Sin never just affects you. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8 demonstrates this. Genesis chapter 13. You remember Abraham. Abraham and Lot were once traveling companions, and they traveled around. But there came a time when their possessions and their servants became too large, and they began to have conflict amongst their servants. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8, Abraham said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers." Well, what caused that strife? What caused that strife to be among them? It was sin. Sin was the reason Abraham and Lot had to separate. Their relationship was not the same because they had to go their separate ways because of the strife, because of the sin that was among their people. Turn with me to the New Testament, though, in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Begin reading with me in verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Paul was worried. He said that there's a, you know, whenever you get people in a room together, there's a tendency for heads to knock and for opinions to clash. And Paul says, be of the same mind. Be united. Don't act selfishly. Don't act in a conceited manner. That's sin. Those are things that are described elsewhere in the Scriptures as sinful. But he says, be united. Act in love. Sin changes relationships. Sin leads to blame. Sin leads to mistrust. And it leads to questions in the mind of others. We must strive to avoid this. We must strive to live at peace among our brethren. And quite simply, sin hurts other people. There's mental pain that comes with the result of sin. There's physical pain, whether it be abuse when angry or when things come about, disease can come about, even death can come about from certain sins. Sin hurts other people. Sin affects other people. Never make the mistake of thinking that your sin just affects you, that it just affects me and I can keep it within myself. Sin affects everyone around you. However, through the teaching of Christ, again, we have the hope that we can renew those relationships. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew again. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." See, Jesus taught forgiveness. Jesus taught compassion, that compassion and forgiveness ought to be among brothers. Notice the fact that this question must be asked by Peter shows that sin can be harmful. The very fact that Peter feels the need to ask, "How many times should I forgive my brother? How often do I have to go through this?" shows that it's something that people struggle with. Sin causes hurt. Sin causes pain. And so Peter asks the question, "How often do I have to forgive my brother?" Jesus taught forgiveness. Jesus taught compassion. Seven times 70. That's how long you bear with your brother. You forgive him. But again, that is not all that sin changes. That's not the only relationship that sin changes. Sin also changes your relationship with yourself. Turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Notice the change that happens within man. Now, the changes that we've looked at so far, sin certainly changes our relationship with God. It makes it so that God can no longer dwell with man when he is in sin. Sin certainly changes our relationship with others, but those are external things. Those are things that are affected on the outside of man. But notice the change that occurs within man. Now that man has this new knowledge, now that man has these new thoughts and these new desires, his relationship with himself changes. He can't think of himself as he once did. He's not in a naive situation, as we often think of those who have not sinned, who have not reached an age of accountability. But David is an excellent example of this. We read a verse out of Psalm 51 earlier, but let's turn back there. Psalm chapter 51. I want to point out a couple of verses that I think demonstrate how David's relationship with himself changed. Look at Psalm 51 and verse 2. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Get down to verse 7. "Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Let's get down again to verse 9. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Since David sinned, he recognized something about himself. Something had changed about himself. David recognized that sin defiled him. He is no longer pure. He's no longer clean in the eyes of God. Rather, he has become filthy to God. And so he begs God, "Cleanse me. Purify me. Get rid of my sin." But David, something changed in David's relationship with himself. He saw that sin defiled him. Look up at verse 3. He recognized that his sin was always right in front of him. He said in verse 3, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." That is something that is difficult to live with. That is something that is hard for us as humans to grasp. that our sins are always going to be there in front of us. It changes our relationship with ourselves, how we carry ourselves, how we live this life, knowing that we have sinned, knowing that sin is in our past. One more example down in verse 5. It said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Notice the language that David used to describe himself. I believe that David is using symbolic language here. How bad is David beating himself up here? It's as if he's always been a sinner. It's as if he sinned from the day he was born. This is how much sin affects us. It's how much sin changes our relationship with ourselves. But Paul is another example of this in the New Testament. Turn over with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. And begin reading with me in verse 21. Paul says, "I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin." Paul saw this struggle within himself. This struggle to, on one hand, follow the Spirit, like we were speaking about at the beginning. To follow the Spirit, to follow the law of God. And on the other hand, his fleshly lusts are pulling at him and want him to give in to sin. He says, "O wretched man that I am." Sin changes our relationship with ourselves. It changes the way we view ourselves and think about ourselves. Turn with me to the next book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." You think about the sins of Paul, or rather the sins of Saul before he was named Paul. You think about him persecuting the church, how he consented to the death of Stephen, how he was walking up to Damascus to persecute the church, to kill those who followed Christ. You know, oftentimes I think when we think about Paul being the least of the apostles, at least one of the first things that comes to my mind is, well, he's one of the last apostles. He's the last apostle who was named an apostle. But that's not why he saw himself as the least. He saw himself as the least because he had sinned, because he had persecuted the church. How much does sin affect us? How much does sin change our relationship with ourselves? It caused Paul to say, I'm the least of all the apostles. And beyond that, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." Paul saw himself as the worst of sinners, the very vilest of sinners. It changed his relationship with himself, just as it changed David's relationship with himself in Psalm 51. And just as it can change our relationship with ourselves when we give in to those things. But as with all the other points, despite the terrible reminders, despite the guilt that sin brings on and the way it changes our view of ourselves, these things, these feelings can produce good results. We have a hope of renewing that relationship even with ourselves. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Begin reading with me in verse 5. Paul says, "For when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comforting with which he was comforting in you, as he reported to us your longings, your mournings, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you were made sorrowful according to the will of God. See here, Paul says there is a good result that can come from this change within you. You sin and your relationship with yourself changes. You feel guilt, you feel sorrow. But Paul said that sorrow moves you to repentance. That sorrow has the ability to lead you to repent of those sins. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. When we have this change in our relationship with ourselves, and when sorrow moves us to repent, when this guilt causes us to want to change our lives, God offers a peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, there is a good result that can come from the guilt of sin. Yes, it may change the way we view ourselves. We may view ourselves as the ultimate sinner or the worst of sinners. We may view ourselves as filthy, just absolutely filthy in God's eyes, so that in our minds, He can't even cleanse us. But there is a hope. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. And that is a renewal of our relationship with ourselves. We must never forget that sin changes things. It changes our relationship with God. It changes our relationship with those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it changes our relationship with ourselves. It alters our relationship. Sin changes things. And we cannot avoid those consequences. No matter how we try, we can't avoid the consequences of sin. If we want to play with sin, we can expect it to change our lives. Never assume that God will not see your sin. Never assume that that sin will not drive you away from your Creator. Never assume that sin affects only yourself. Never assume that you can sin and contain it and it won't touch those around you or anyone else. Never pretend that your sin won't affect yourself. Never pretend that I can engage in this sin. I can act contrary to God's law, but it won't bother me. I can stop whenever I want, or things to that nature. Sin changes things in our lives. If you've engaged in sin and you've seen the changes that sin can make, why don't you come out of that today? There is a hope for the renewal of these relationships, a renewal of the relationship with God. God can forgive you. God can cleanse you. There is a renewal of the relationship with your brothers. We will forgive you. 70 times 7 times we will forgive you. We will pray for you and we will encourage you. And there is a hope for renewal with yourself. Those things of the past can be done away, and the peace which passes all understanding can dwell within you. If there's anything we can do at this time to help you, we ask that you make that known as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.